We're going to start in John 21. John chapter 21. Maybe you've never read this story. This is when Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection. And he says in John chapter 21, verse 15, when they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." Verse 17, the third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Where you do not want to go. We've been talking about the renewing of the mind. And quite frankly, I'm just going to be straight up front with you. I don't care how holy a Christian you think you are. Your mind does not want to go there. Jesus said, "Peter, when you're old," and of course this verse is talking about, if you read on, it says Jesus was telling Peter the way in which he was going to be martyred and the way he was going to be killed. And that was, we know from history that he was crucified upside down. But Jesus was saying, you're going to be led when you're older somewhere where you don't want to go. And I want to tell you this about renewing the mind. Listen, when you got born again, your spirit was born again. When you believed on Jesus, your spirit was born again, made new. Your mind wasn't. I got good news and I got bad news. The good news is your spirit's brand new. It's holy, it's pure, it's as majestic and wonderful as Jesus, but your mind ain't. Can you say amen? And we're not taking a poll. We won't ask you what's been on your mind lately. But your mind is not renewed yet. But we're getting there. Amen? And your mind is like this verse of Scripture. It's, you know, Jesus wants to take you, Robert, where you do not want to go. Your mind will resist. But resistance is futile. When we were in New Guinea, right after Bible school, we went on a missions trip. And we picked the most adventuresome faraway place we could think of when they were listing all their places. Who wants to go to Mexico? I thought, Mexico, gosh, it's like neighbors. Who wants to go to, you know, Africa? Africa, that's too far. Who wants to go to New Guinea? I said, let's go to there. Come on, Tara, let's go to New Guinea. That sounds cool. So we went to Papua New Guinea in 1985, right after Bible school. And then on the way back, stopped through Australia for some R&R. But while we were there, the guys on the last day we were on our missions trip, they said, we're going to go climb Mount Michael tomorrow. I didn't know what Mount Michael was, but it was the second tallest mountain in New Guinea, and it was elevation 12,000 feet. I think we were at about 5,000 feet, something like that. So they decided the next morning we'd all, and this was like one for all and all for one. It wasn't like you had a choice. Well, I mean, what they weren't making us, but it was like, what guy's going to go, I don't want to do that. You know, look like a sissy. So we're all like, yeah, we're in this. So the next morning we got up about 5 in the morning. We're making our way in the dark. We had a resident native nearby who led us. He was like an antelope. This guy was amazing. Could skip along the mountains like nobody's business. But he led us up the mountain. And it took 7 hours to get to the top. Mind you, none of us had prepared for this. No conditioning. I didn't work out. Well, I barely jogged when we were in college. I mean, I didn't, but I wasn't like, you know, bodybuilder or anything. And I certainly hadn't prepared. I didn't come on this trip to climb mountains. I came to tell people about Jesus. But they just, you know, the bravado came out. It was too much to resist. So here we were up Mount Michael, 7 hours up. Started at daybreak, 7 hours up. We got there at noon. It was the quietest, most amazing lunch and nap that we've ever had. It was worth the 7 hours, let me tell you. But on the way down, it started raining, and it was 4.5 hours down because half the time we were sliding through the mud, just literally slipping on smokes. It was great. We got to the bottom. I was totally exhausted, ready to just fall on my face, dead. Felt like I was dead. But the point was that I was literally led by my compadres somewhere I did not want to go, because I guarantee you about an hour into it, I was like, I don't want to do this. But unfortunately, there was no turning back, because nobody wanted to go back with the loser to say, you know, and miss this great challenge before. So it was like, once we started, we were all going to get to the top. And it was fun. But it reminded me of this verse as well. I was led where I did not want to go once I got into it, but it was great once I got there. And that's kind of like renewing the mind. Your mind will fight you. Listen, your mind does not want to focus. It does not want to sit still long enough to read this book. Not only just a chapter a day, but a verse or two. Your mind is resistant. But our minds must be renewed. Jesus, when he saved us, he's out to get our whole being. And you know, on resurrection day, he's going to get our body. That's going to come via his working, his power in us. But in the meantime, when we received Jesus, when we believed on him, our spirit was saved for eternity. Our soul is being saved, and our body will be saved, future tense. But in the meantime, the process, what we call the renewing of the mind, is the being part. I'm being saved in my brains. James said it this way, Peter, the Apostle Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 1:9, if you're taking notes, we won't turn there, but he said, you are receiving the goal of your salvation, you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Your soul is being saved right now as you renew your mind in the book. And there's no other way to do it. Straight talk. You got to get in the book to renew your mind. You say, I don't understand the Bible when I read it. It's okay. He'll interpret it. He'll make it life to you. He will speak from this book as you read it. He will speak it and give you understanding. It's like learning to walk. It's like learning to ride a bike. None of us, is there an instruction manual for learning to walk? You just get up and do it. And the more you do it, the more comfortable you get with it. Terry often tells me, says, man, you were just born for this. And I go, I know. I've been in the Bible my whole life. What I'm doing is just, it's like what I was destined for, because this has been my life. Paul said it this way in talking about spiritual gifts. He said, when I pray in the Spirit, if there's no interpretation, he was talking about public meetings in the book of 1 Corinthians, because a lot of times in their meetings, people would come in and they would just stand up and babble in tongues and no interpretation. So nobody in the room had any clue what was being said. He said, in those kind of situations, your mind is unfruitful. He used this word unfruitful. Unfruitful. And so he says, you should pray for the interpretation. If there's a gift, someone stands up and gives a gift of a message in tongues, you should pray for the interpretation so that there's fruitfulness there. And listen, your mind is meant to be fruitful in the Lord. Our mind's not meant to be just hang out and be out to lunch. When we got saved, Jesus didn't just say, okay, I'll see you in 50 years in heaven. Just have a great life. No, in the meantime, our mind needs to be conditioned. It needs to be straightened. What do? They put blinders on horses. They say, this is your path. And this is what this book does. When we get into the book, it says, this is where we're going. Your mind says, well, I want to go this way. No, this is where we're going. It's called the renewing of the mind. It's called salvation of our souls. Paul said it this way in the book of Philippians. Since we're in Philippians this week in our Bible reading, let's turn there together. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Let's look at this verse, Philippians chapter 2. And verse 12. Philippians 2:12 says this. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. Listen, we have a powerful thing that's happened in our spirit. It's what we call salvation. And it's not a boring thing. It's powerful. It's amazing. The authority, the glory, the rights that have been bestowed upon you as a son or a daughter of God are incredible. But you'll only learn about those rights as you get in this book. This is the will and testament of what God has given you through Jesus. Amen? This book describes in detail what's in your will. What has God willed to you? You are, the Bible refers to us as being heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ Jesus. You have been put on the level with Christ Jesus. Do you know that? And that you're not higher than him. You're not deity. But you are a son and a daughter of God. And this is where we discover what all God's put in us. What all he's put in us. Work out your salvation. This is renewing the mind is what Paul's referring to here in Philippians 2. He's saying, work out. Get this thing out of you. Nadine talked about it a bit ago. Say, we got healing in us. Now let's go take it to the world. Let's work this out. Let's get this outward. Listen, you're saved in here. We need to work it out. We need to get this salvation out. We need to get it through our mind, into our mind. Get the mind cooperating with what God has done in here in our spirits. And it comes to spending time in the Word. There's no other easy way. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter, turn to the right, way over toward the book of Revelation. 2 Peter chapter 1. While you're turning there, let me say this. We have an extreme problem in our day. I'm talking about Americans. I don't know about other countries. I only know the country I live in. But we have a real issue in this day and time because as a country, we have just prospered to such a degree that people are very tempted to be lazy. Would you agree? I mean, you know, we don't even want to get up. I've got a remote control to make my fan go faster when I'm sitting in the living room. I don't have to get up and pull that chain anymore or flip a switch on the wall. Or it used to be a dial. You go click, click, click. Now we got a remote control. I can sit back there. I can watch the TV and I can just go tink and the fan goes slower or faster. We're lazy. And quite honestly, people do not want to take responsibility for a lot of what God has called us to do and be in Christ Jesus. They want someone else to pray for them. Now, there's nothing wrong. Listen, we encourage prayer. We believe in the authority of the office that a pastor stands in or elders in a church. We believe in the authority that's released in prayer. So I don't want to discourage anybody for coming up from prayer. But I do want to provoke you toward this attitude that you're not always looking to someone else to pray for you. That you get to the place, like Brenda shared last week, where you stand up and you say, I'm Jesus. This is my whip. I'm in the temple driving out that which needs to be driven out of my body. Okay, and you have the authority of Jesus. We our goal here at Believers Fellowship is to raise you up with the authority of a believer, of a minister, to the level of a minister that you say, I can lay hands on the sick. I can drive sickness out of my body. There are times you need prayer here. You need joint prayer. We always encourage that. But I do want to make it clear that we don't want to encourage you to abdicate your responsibility in Christ. Okay, you have authority been given to you, and you know there's an alarming statistic. In our country of people that are just falling, you know, dependent on the government. How many of you know that? It's just not the will of God. And it's almost a mindset. I'm shocked places I go. You know, I meet couples and, you know, he's the stay-at-home dad. And I'm like, when did that switch in America? Just, it makes my mind go tilt. But the idea of people setting their responsibilities aside and saying, I'm just going to let someone else take care of me. Listen, you're going to be in a world of hurt fast with that mindset. And in this church, we're raising up. We're not encouraging babies to sit back and have a binky in their mouth at this church. We're saying, grow up. Grow up in Christ Jesus. Learn to swing your sword. Learn to take your authority. We have responsibility. You know, there's also a lot of teaching going around that says, you know, well, God's in control. So, you know, if I'm supposed to be healed, you know, he'll pour it on me kind of thing. And we can't afford to take that attitude.
That's right. That's
not at all.
That's right.
Listen, God is all powerful. He's not all controlling. If God were in control, look around you. He's not doing too good a job. The only place God's in complete control is in heaven. You want to see God in control? Go to heaven. But here on the earth, the church has the responsibility to rise up in the authority and the name of Jesus. What we talked about, what we demonstrated here today before you, the name of Jesus to heal, to drive out sickness, to drive out pain. That's what we're supposed to be about. Amen?
Amen?
But we only get there as we renew our minds and understand from the Word what we have. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. That was a long detour to get to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1 verse 2. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Say abundance. You're not just supposed to have a little bit of peace, saints. You're supposed to have a ton of peace. That's what, you know, in modern lingo we would say, grace and peace be yours in tons, okay? Tons of grace, tons of peace be yours in abundance through the what? The knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Listen, it comes through the knowledge. The knowledge. This is why we come to church. This is why we listen to teaching, you know, one year home. Don't just let this be your once a week feeding. Feed on the Word all week long. Find a good television. Listen, we're blessed with the art of television in our day. We can bring great Bible teachers right there home. Find somebody you relate to, you can receive from, and feed on that. Feed on that. Feed on that. Receive it. It's through the knowledge that grace and peace are yours in abundance. Through the knowledge, it's increasing knowledge. It's, you never get to a point to say, I know that. No, we're constantly knowing, 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 feeding, knowing, knowing. It's a constant thing. We're renewing our minds. We never get to a point that we say, my mind's renewed. You know, at that point, I would stand back and kind of watch and see if you're about to check out your glory. Because, listen, we never get to the point until you're done with this life. You're not, quote-unquote, renewed. You're not quite, you don't just know it all. We're constantly knowing, constantly renewing. It's a process. And it never ends till the day we go to be home with Jesus. Let's read on. Verse 3. His divine power has given us everything. Say everything. Everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge, there's that word again, of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. The King James reads it this way in verse 4. Let me read verse 4 again in King James. It's really good. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Amen? Exceeding great. Listen, this book is exceeding great. This is not just a great book. This is exceeding great. This is not just good words or, you know, philosophy to add next to your Buddha philosophy or your Zen philosophy or your this philosophy. No, these are great, exceeding great. These are precious promises. And they will enable you and I to be partakers. Listen to this. Look at that phrase again. Partakers of the divine nature. Divine nature. As you renew your mind, you are partaking of the divine nature. Listen, when we got, when we were born into this world, we didn't know what love was. Some of you had good homes. I had a great home life. Okay, by the way, I had great Christian parents. They got saved when I was real young. So I grew up in a wonderful home. But listen, the best parents on earth still don't come close to our Heavenly Father's love. Amen? I mean, I don't care. You know, it's not that our parents fail us, but they just can't quite diffuse and dispense to us all the greatness of the love that our Father has in His heart. But as you get in this book and you learn of the promises that are yours and you become a partaker of the divine nature, what that means is that you're taking in, wow, God, I'm in a family that is full of this much love. Listen, the best church on earth will not show you the best love of Jesus. Just quit looking for it there. Come to church. Look for it there. But listen, when the saints around you fail, look up. Amen? That's a different sermon for a different time. Okay. Through exceeding great and precious promises, we have it. Say that with me. I have it. Through the knowledge of Him. What do you have? You have peace and grace multiplied in abundance, in tons, as you get in this book, as you renew your mind. Turn over to Hebrews 4, just a little bit to your left. Hebrews 2. I want to look at one other verse, and then I'm really going to cut loose. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. We must pay careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard so that we do not drift away. Verse 2. For if the message spoken by angels, that's talking about the Old Testament, was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore, or in the King James it says, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. You know, neglect, I did a quick word study yesterday on this word neglect. Neglecting this book, neglecting this great salvation is not intentional harm. You understand? You can be found in the sin of neglect real easy, easier than we think. So let me break it down for you this way. Neglect means this. This is just pure out Webster definition. Nothing fancy here. Not a Bible. It's not a Bible lexicon or anything. The word neglect means to give little attention or respect to. To give little attention or respect to. Ouch. It doesn't mean intentional harm. When the writer here says, don't neglect your salvation, he's saying, pay attention to it. Respect it. Listen, that's why I want to get you in the book. Because as you take a different attitude as a believer toward this book, You know, sometimes when I sit my Bible down, I don't even set other things on top of it. I'm not saying I'm legalistic about it, but in a sense, I want to honor this book. If you have something that's precious to you, what, you know, it's delicate, you put it in a protective case, or you put it in places where nothing else can smush it, crush it, or otherwise damage it, right? Okay, so our attitude toward the Word of God shows our level of respect. And this is why I say, listen, put the Word first in your day. You get up out of bed, listen, the first thing you gotta do before you brush your teeth, before you use Listerine, open the book. What does that do? It's showing honor. God, I honor this first above everything. Now, I know there's other things that have to happen in the mornings. Believe me. Dog has to go out, this and that. But the first opportunity you have, honor your salvation. Honor this salvation. Show it respect. Show it attention. This could imply to marriage, too. Listen, neglect can happen in a marriage just through lack of attention, lack of respect in a certain area. That's a message for another time. Okay, neglect. We want to give strong attention to, strong respect to the Word of God. Microsoft did a research study on 2,000 participants in around the year 2000, about the same time that this mobile phone craze broke out. Okay, if you remember those of you that bought cell phones back then, I think I got mine around 1998 or so. And then within a few years, the BlackBerry thing was going crazy. You know, I just had a phone to make calls, but they did a research study, and the more people were getting into, you know, doing internet stuff and other things besides calls on their phone, they brought in 2,000 participants. You know what they discovered? Since the mobile craze had broken out, the attention span of the average human within this test study group had gone from 12 seconds attention span down to 8 seconds since the mobile phone revolution had broken out. Less than a goldfish. Robert, less than a goldfish. They say a goldfish can focus on something for about 9 seconds, and then he's on to something else. Humans have gone lower. I mean, the only caveat, the only good point that they brought out that was of any consolation was we've learned how to multitask better. Okay, whatever that means. But in general, our attention span has dropped. That's the bad news. Okay? But we as believers, we're provoking you, encouraging you to rein in your mind. Rein in your thoughts. We promoted a book here a couple months ago, Joyce Meyer's book. Listen, don't put that down until you finish it. Trudge through that thing. Finish it. The Battleground of the Mind. I think we still got some copies. We got one copy left. One. Do I hear 10? Do I have 20? Okay. Read through that book. It'll encourage you. Listen, our minds, we must be stewards of our minds, saints. You can't just let your mind drift. And I'm telling you, since we've been on this track, man, I'm seeing more and more. I'm going, whoa. Man, did I have a laziness here or a tendency to just passivity here? Why? Because we've been so just accustomed to just letting, you know, the mind just kind of hang loose. No, we're called to let salvation work itself. It's like someone kneading yeast into the dough, you know, when they're making bread, right? God wants his salvation to work itself completely into our minds to where we can someday stand up and say, I have the mind of Christ. I think like him. I'm sensitive like him. And when the Father speaks, I can hear him and I move with him. Amen? But it's going to take a renewing of the mind. Renewing of the mind. Now, real quick, get to my main point. I'm going to make it real fast. Some of you that have been along this process for a while now, and as it pertains to healing particularly, this is the challenge that you're up against. A lot of times you start speaking scriptures over a situation. You say, by his stripes I was healed, or, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Maybe you're believing God for more strength in your body physically, or maybe you've got a challenge at work and you just haven't been able to overcome that hurdle, and you've been believing God and speaking the word and speaking the word and speaking the word, and you've seen no change. No change at all. The Lord wants to remind you today, stick with it. Amen. Don't back off. I read the book, Dodie Osteen's book, Healed of Cancer, yesterday. It's a real easy read. We have those on the table?
Yes.
Okay. Pick one up if you don't have it. It's free. It's on the house today. If you've not read that book, you need to read that book. It applies to every area, whether you believe in God for finances, it doesn't matter. Dodie Osteen was sent home in 1981, whatever it was. She was sent home with basically like a death sentence, 6 weeks left to live. And Dodie Osteen and her husband prayed, and she said, like Dolly testified today, when John prayed the day, December 10th of 1980 or 81, whichever year it was, she said, that day I received by faith my healing. She received by faith her healing. That moment her husband prayed. And from that point on, it was just working it out, working it out, working it out. She got in the Word of God and found every healing scripture known to man, confessed it daily. And in the back of her little book, there's all these great healing scriptures. So it's a great resource. Please make yourself available. Avail yourself of it. And she read those scriptures every day. She's still to this day, because she's been healed of liver cancer and this, you know, death sentence in her body. To this day, she still reads those healing scriptures every day, every day, every day. She pours the word in. What's she doing? She's renewing herself to her salvation in the area of healing. But I love the point that she said this. She said, I received it back when John said it, even though nothing changed. And she doesn't even tell in the book how long it took for the change. But it was years later. She never went back to the doctors to get it confirmed. But she years later, two or three years later, she went to a Christian doctor that she knew. And she had him check her out. And he said, yeah, her health's perfect. I mean, they've more than verified. And of course, it's been, what, 30 years later or whatever. She's more than healed. Dodie's alive and breathing, alive and kicking. She's still there on the front row at Lakewood Church every Sunday watching her son Joel preach. But she's an amazing testament. But what really spoke to me about it was there was times, and she goes into a little detail in the story, how she would be in tremendous pain, and her sons and daughters would say, Mom, you know, she'd need to move a scooch a table across the room or something. She'd want to move some furniture. They'd look at her and say, you can do that. A healed woman can do that. And boy, you know, they stood right by her, stood by her side, and they pushed her along. They coached her in her faith. They coached her and coached her and would not let her back down. And she didn't back down herself, but there was times that she'd be bleeding, she'd be in pain, she'd be crying, and she looked at her husband. She said, John, I know in my heart what the scripture says, but I'm having doubts. And he asked her, he said, Dodie, where are those doubts at? She said, they're in my mind. And he said, you believe in your heart, but the doubt is in your mind. And he reminded her the doubt was in her mind. You follow me? So as you're renewing your mind, realize this. We're pushing out doubt from our mind, whatever area you're renewing yourself in. You're pushing the doubt out of your mind. In your heart, you believe the promises of God. And that's powerful. That will eventually win the race. As many can testify, not just Dodie, but there's been numerous, you know, countless saints that have walked this kind of thing out. When you believe in your heart and will not give up, even if your mind is telling you otherwise, even if your body is screaming at you, and she said, you know, there was times that her body was screaming, I'm in pain, etc. She believed the word. She held fast to the word. And I want to encourage you today, there's some of you, this is the heart of my message right here. Right here. Don't miss it. Keep on. Keep on. Keep on, even if you're not seeing change. What did Jesus do? He cursed the fig tree. And even, you know, Jesus, of course, we know that he was like not an ounce of doubt in him, right? We understand that he walked in a faith that was limitless. And we can get there, saints. We really can. We can get there. So many of you know Andrew Womack. We've promoted his books here. I had the privilege of shaking his hand at the conference this week. He was just walking around mingling with the people before one of the meetings. And I walked up to him and I said, Andrew, we love your book at our church. You've already got it. How many of you read it? You've already got it. So quit trying to get it. Okay, if you haven't read that one, we got some of those out there?
Yes.
All right, we've got those on the book table too. For no excuse. But I told him, I said, that book has been such a great blessing because it testifies to this. The promises that God has given us, whether it's related to healing, prosperity, whatever it is, renewing your mind, your righteousness in Christ, you have it. It's been given to you. We just read that verse in Peter. It says, "You, by his great and precious promise, he hath given all these things to us. We have it. We have it. And just hang in there. If you're believing God for something. I want to turn real quick to one verse. We'll talk about some other verses next week. But 1 Kings chapter 18. This is the word picture that the Lord gave me for us today. We're going to conclude with this. 1 Kings chapter 18. And verse 41. Now this is the story of Elijah. He's just had this amazing encounter. It was him, one versus 400 prophets of Baal. You remember the story? And he called down fire from heaven. God's fire consumed the altar, consumed the sacrifice. It was a great display of power. I mean, how many of you would love that? You know, your enemies are going, did your God really exist? Just watch. And fire comes from heaven. I mean, that it doesn't get any better than that. Okay? That's powerful. So in 1 Kings chapter 18, it ends in an odd way, but you got to understand there was a wicked king in power, Ahab the king, and they had been in a time of famine. And so Elijah turns to him and says in verse 41 of 1 Kings chapter 18, and Elijah said to Ahab, that's the king, he says, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain. Say heavy rain.
Heavy rain.
Heavy rain. not just average rain. This God's fixing to pour it on. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel. Now pay attention to this. He bent down to the ground and put his face between his knees. What was he doing? Praying. And he's not looking outward. He's looking with the eyes of faith. Sometimes, saints, listen, you're standing for healing. You're standing for righteousness. You're standing for some change in your life. You want things to improve in this area. You've latched on to a couple of promises from the Word of God, and you're expecting change. You need to hunker down, close your eyes in the natural, not look at the circumstances. Look what he says. He put his face between his knees. He said, go and... He was there with his servant. He said, go and look toward the sea, he told his servant. And he went up. His servant went up and looked. There's nothing there, he said. How many ever believed God for something and your mind goes, there's nothing there. There's been no change. That tumor's still on your body. That pain's still there. That's what he heard. Seven times Elijah said, go back. Is that persistence or what? Right? Listen, saints, we need to add some Holy Ghost, bulldog, determination, persistence to our faith. It's through, not just through faith that you inherit the promise. It's through faith and patience. The kind of patience that says, seven times, go back. What do you see now? Nothing. Nothing there. Go back. What do you see now? Nothing there. Listen, we give up long before the miracle many times. This sermon could unpack and just expand right here, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to be conservative. We give up way too many times, way too soon. And God's got our miracle. It's on its way. It's like that angel that came to Daniel and said, I've been wrestling with the principality that's been trying to hold me back for 21 days. The minute you started to pray, Daniel, God sent the answer. But there was some resistance, some angelic, demonic resistance. How many of you know, sometimes, listen, if the enemy has established his turf in our life in one area, it doesn't matter where it is. Listen, all of us got it. And I'm going to take a toll and find out what yours is or mine is, but we all got territory in our lives that the enemy has established. He's a squatter. I've said it many times. He's a squatter. He comes in and says, this is my turf right here. And it's got our name on it. But that's just what he does. And he looks us in the eye and says, I dare you. I dare you. I dare you to push me off. That's his nature. He's a thief. What does a thief do? They take what doesn't belong to them. Your health belongs to you.
That's right.
Prosperity belongs to you.
Amen.
I'll say it again. Your health belongs to you.
Amen.
Pain-free mobility is our cliche around here. Pain-free mobility. We believe God for pain-free mobility in every joint, every muscle of our body. Amen. And prosperity belongs to you. What is prosperity? Everything's bills paid, debts canceled. You got more than enough for your needs and to provide for the needs of others. That's what we teach here, okay? It's not just about you driving a Cadillac and never giving. Prosperity is where you're overflowing and you can give to those around you. That's prosperity. And he will challenge you on that. He'll challenge your turf. He'll challenge you for your territory, what's rightfully yours, Dolly. That's your arm.
Amen.
And you proved it. Hallelujah. Let's read on. There's nothing there, he said. Seven times Elijah said, go back. Verse 44, the seventh time the servant reported, oh wait, I see a cloud as small as a man's hand rising from the sea. It's only tiny now. But something's changed. Something's changed. Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. Can you see it in your spirit, man? The wind rose. A heavy rain. Say heavy rain. A heavy rain came on and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. I love it. I love it, man. You know when miracles start flowing? We believe around here when it rains, it pours.
Amen.
In a good sense. We just saw that this morning. Debbie had an issue in her knee, was it? Her back and her knee. Brenda had an issue in her back and her hip. They were sandbagging. They didn't tell us all these problems when they came up here. But God said, I'm not only going to heal this, I'm going to heal that. Heavy rain. God wants to send heavy rain your way and heavy rain my way. He wants to do more than we could ask, think, or imagine.
Yes.
So you think you're going after one area of your life? God says, I'm not only going to heal you here, I'm going to heal you there. I'm not only going to pay off your car, I'm going to pay off your house. Listen, there's glory coming our way, saints, if we'll open ourselves to it. Through these great and precious, exceeding great and precious promises given to us, we can be partakers. Partakers. God's not broke. God's mansions are paid for. God has health. He never coughs. Never sneezes. There's not one sneeze in heaven. Imagine that. He's totally healthy. We've always pictured him as a really old guy with a long beard, kind of, you know, maybe has a cane in one hand. When he sits on his throne, he kind of sits down slowly. No. No, he's more like the Olympics are coming up next month. He's more like one of those guys. Eternally young. He's our father, yes, but he's not an old geezer. And he's got plenty of strength. As it is in heaven, so let it be on earth. We're believing you for heavy rain. We don't just want to correct some behavior, Father. Just modify ourselves so when we come to church we look good. We don't want to just bite our tongue when we'd like to explode with anger. But we want kindness to flow out of us. We want the divine nature. We want to partake of kindness from the inside out. Saints, it's coming. It comes as you persistently stay in the book, speak the promises, speak them aloud over your situation, and don't give up. And don't give up. Hallelujah.
The Holy Spirit is so amazing. Yesterday, the Lord spoke this exact passage to me about Elijah and his servant for as a word today for us. And we started talking yesterday afternoon, and he said, I'm going to talk on that tomorrow. So that's amazing. But I feel like there's people here, and you've been praying for certain things. I have no idea what it is. But he's saying, look again. Go and look again, because something's on the move, and you need to keep looking, and don't pull your receivers back, but keep your receivers at. God is moving and changing your situation. So be ready for that, and don't give up. You know, the enemy's committed. We need to be more committed.
Amen.
We need to be more committed because God has promised us victory in every area of our life, and that's what he wants for us. So go back and look again and keep your receiver out there because God is on the move. Be encouraged.
Yes, yes, yes. Praise God. Praise God. Let's stand together. No, well, we're not going to beat the Methodist to lunch. Sorry. We do that most of the time for you, but it's all right. We've seen God move here today. It's powerful. Don't you want to see power when you come to church?
Amen.
Oh, I mean, if that ever quits, we'll close the doors and turn off the lights. Praise God. When Jesus shows up and people get healed. I want to encourage you. There's people in here today. You say, man, my faith. Come on, play Rachel a little bit. My faith has wavered. I have been believing God for such and such, but I've seen no change. Been like Elijah, sending my servant back time and time again. You see any difference? Nothing's changed. Still looks the same. For those of you that are in that circumstance today, I just want us to, with heads bowed for just a moment, I want you to raise your hand if that's you. You say, I've seen no change. I need my faith encouraged. I need to see that cloud in the distance. I need to see that cloud in the distance. I need a sign from God saying, man, this faith is working. Sometimes we just need a boost to our faith. Okay, if that's you today, just raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. We're going to pray for you today. You need a sign from heaven. Listen, there's nothing wrong with looking for change. We should be that's called expectation. We're encouraged to expect. Hope expects. That's what hope is. We hope in the Lord and we continue with our faith. Amen? So if that's you today, reach out and receive it. Right now, just lift your hand. If that's you today, reach out. And with that hand lifted, say, Jesus, I take by faith the sign of your coming, the sign of your goodness, the token of your power released on my behalf. Now release it, Holy Ghost. Send the cloud. Send the rain. Send the change. In Jesus' name. hear the sound of abundance of rain. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. The clouds are moving in. The winds are whipping up. Dark, thick clouds are coming, and abundance of rain is coming. Heavy rain. Heavy rain. Mega change in your situation today. In Jesus' name, breakthrough. Now don't quit. When you start to see that cloud, you keep at it. You speak the word more. You speak the word more. You continue in your faith. You continue in your faith. The fig tree died at the root first, and then the branches, and then the leaves and the fruit. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, it didn't all happen outwardly at once. But the minute he said it, that root responded, and it started to die. And then it worked its way up into the bark, and out of the branches, and into the leaves and fruit. That's what's happening in your life right now. You've spoken. Dolly stood. The moment she and Alan called and prayed with us that night, she said, okay, this is my moment. It's done now. She released her faith and said, I'm healed now. And the outworking took some time. Dodie Osteen, it doesn't tell in her book how long it took for her healing to completely manifest. But she got there. Listen, saints, we're not on a clock with this thing. But the goal is to get quicker and quicker and quicker to where one day when we curse the fig tree, it will die in one day. I heard someone testify at this meeting we were at this week. They said, you know, one thing we were believing God for in this last decade, it took 10 years to arrive. But the last time we applied our faith, it took 1 year in a certain area. They went from 10 years to 1 year. God moving us from faith to faith, from glory to glory. As we sang about it today, we go from glory to glory. So listen, see yourself as a muscle man, a muscle woman. You're pumping your faith. You're getting stronger. And you stay in the Word. You stay in the Word. You stay in the Word. And look for that sign. It's coming. I believe God's going to give some of you signs, tokens, that what you've been believing for, that breakthrough is coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Keep looking. Send the servant back. What does the servant represent? Your faith. Go back and look again, faith. You see anything? Nope. Okay. I'm still believing God. No change? Go back and look again, faith. Faith goes back time and time again. Seven's the perfect number. Listen, when the perfect time comes, oh man, I'm getting revved up for another sermon. Faith comes. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith will come. That it's that miracle. It's that moment we can't explain, but when we've stayed in the Word and stayed in the promise so much that all of a sudden, boom, it ignites. And when your faith ignites, that's the moment the healing manifests. That's the moment the prosperity breakthrough happens. That's the moment the job happens. Someone calls you up and says, hey, I got that job for you. What job? Oh, you mean that thing I prayed about a year ago and forgot about? Oh, it's here. Your train's here. Amen. You'll be hearing that heavenly, all aboard. Why? Because faith has come. It's arisen. Faith has all of a sudden. We didn't get to it in the Word. We'll read it next week. But there's a passage Jesus told a parable. He said, a man goes to sleep day after day. He plants his seed in the kingdom of heaven. It's like a seed planted in the ground. The man goes to sleep day and night. And one day it sprouts. He knows not how. That's right. Faith coming. Faith coming. Faith coming. Just hang in there. Hang in there. It's coming. It's coming. Well, we'll stop there.